In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, both now and unto the ages of all ages, Amen. Good morning. It's a pleasure to see everyone in the church today. I'm so excited about the message of today because really, God has been speaking with me personally to understand that He is the God of miracles. And the title for our meditation this morning is Impossible is Nothing. You might be familiar with this slogan for Adidas and with the World Cup approaching in South Africa in a few weeks. It's good to start getting in the mood for the sports lovers at least. And you will see a lot of ads by Adidas. And their slogan is going to be, or is already, impossible is nothing. But I believe they were not speaking about a shoe brand or about sports. They were referring to God, our God, who is the God of the impossible. As our Lord Jesus declared, and as the angel pronounced to the Virgin Mary, for with God nothing will be impossible, in Luke 1:37. So let us venture together on this exciting trek and journey to see how our God is the God of the impossible. And indeed, whenever there is an obstacle that is standing in our way, we will not say to God how big is our problem, but we will tell the problem how big is our God, because nothing is impossible for God, and impossible is nothing. The meditation is inspired from today's reading of the Acts, which is taken from Acts 14:8 to 23. And as the disciples entered into Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb, who had never walked. This man heard Paul speaking, and Paul, observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand up straight on your feet." And he leaped and walked. I'm very confident there were hundreds, maybe thousands of people who saw that man and said it is impossible that he would walk again on his feet. But when St. Paul came by the power of the Spirit, he didn't look at the problem. He had his focus on the Lord Jesus, who is the solution for any problem. And he looked at the impossible problem and he said, impossible is nothing. For with the Lord Jesus, I have eternal life and I have full strength. And he looked at him and he said with a loud voice, with authority, he said unto him, stand up straight on your feet. And he leaped and walked immediately. And God showed that he was the God of the impossible. Throughout history and in the Holy Scriptures, we face and we see so many inspiring stories around us. And I'm going to share some of them with you today, to help us understand that impossible is nothing. We set limits for ourselves, for our livelihood, for our children, for our relationships, for the problems that we have ahead of us, and we say that there is no way on God's earth that this problem has a solution. But God looks at the problem and He says, impossible is nothing. You don't know what you're talking about. Just build your trust in me and have faith and confidence in me, and you will see that impossible is nothing. While we are on the Adidas slogan, some of the stories that are on the Adidas website for some athletes who start telling their stories of how impossible is nothing. One of these is Lionel Messi. And you might know him as he is becoming maybe the top soccer player in the world, and we're going to see great things from him during the World Cup, and he plays in Argentina, and he was born in Rosario, Argentina. Well, growing up, he was short, this fine player that we know today. And at the age of 11, he was diagnosed with a growth hormone deficiency. And many teams backed away from him, from signing him on. Why? Because treatment for his deficiency, growth hormone deficiency, cost something like $500 every month. So if they were going to sign him, they had to pay that money. And everyone looked at him and he said, you know, he's got talent, but he doesn't have any future. But guess what? When particular team looked at him and they saw in him potential, believed in him, and they signed him on. And then he moved to Spain, to Barcelona, Spain, and he started to play at the junior level of this team, and then he got better and better until now he is one of the top players in the world. Some people focus on the problem, others focus on the solution. And this is what God wants us to look at. And when the world around us ceases to have any trust in us that we can accomplish things in our life, this is the time that God comes shining through us and He says, I can see potential in you. So many stories in the Bible that prove this point that impossible is nothing. And I looked at the Bible from beginning to end, and there are so many stories, but I wanted to mention maybe a couple of stories from Scripture that some of us could be familiar with, others might not be. Let's begin from Numbers chapter 13, where God promised the Israelites to go into the promised land, to go into Canaan. And God said to Moses, pick one representative of each of the 12 tribes and send them into Canaan to spy on the land, to look at the sort of things to expect once you go there. Just look for yourself if there's really milk and honey, if this land is flowing with like grapes and amazing blessings, so that you would have hope for the future. The spies went, 12 of them, and they looked, and really, they had huge grapes, to the point that they were carrying it in front of each other, almost in the sign of the cross, like they were with a pole and the grapes right in the middle. They were ripe, they were amazing. The land is flowing with milk and honey. It looks so beautiful. But they had one little obstacle in front of them. They saw the giants. They saw people who were of high stature. They were descendants of Amalek. Amalek literally means giants. And they were tough, they were armed. And they saw the obstacle. And most of them came back running to Moses saying, we know that God promised us to go into Canaan, but I'm telling you, Moses, it is an impossible task to go and to defeat these Amaleks. These are scary, these are giants, and we will never be able, it is impossible for us to defeat them. But they forgot one thing, that there is a promise from God's hand. I have given you the land of Canaan for your inheritance. Reading from Numbers chapter 13, verse 30, then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are able to overcome it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. People of God think of themselves as grasshoppers. And this is the worst thing that could happen to us. We look at the problem and we are dismayed and feel so bad and feel down. We have no kind of self-esteem, low self-esteem. We feel that we have lost all hope. We forget God's promises. But we want to have a healthy, godly esteem. This kind of esteem is the one that knows that, yes, on our own we are nothing, but with God's help we are more than conquerors and victors. We are not victims in any ways. The problem is magnified in front of their eyes, and they look at the giants, but they lose focus of the Lord Jesus, and they think of themselves as mere grasshoppers. Only two people stand out in the midst of the crowd. And these are the ones who actually entered into the land of Canaan, the promised land, at the end of the day. And these two people were, as mentioned here in the chapter, if we keep reading in the beginning of chapter 4, but Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes. And they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying,
The land we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. They looked at God's promises and they believed in it. They never considered themselves as grasshoppers. If the Lord delights in us, then He will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. Impossible is nothing. Yes, they might be stronger than us. They may seem like they are the giants and we are the grasshoppers. But do not ever take out of the equation that the God of heaven and earth, the creator of all this world that we live in, He is all-powerful and almighty, and He is with us. Do not fear them. And this is the message of today that we want to convey, that impossible is nothing. Many people have been out of work for a while, and they say it's impossible for us to get a job. Others saying we don't have the skills or the gifts or the talents to obtain or acquire this level or this status in our life, or even spiritually. Look at all the saints and look at all the giants. No, God has a promise for us. He will destroy anything that is impossible in front of our faces, and He will give us victory, and He will give us the ability just to move on and to reach levels that we never thought that we could reach in our lives. Just have no fear. All this anxiety, cast it out completely from your heart. All this fear of the future, fear of the unknown, fear that these people are the ones who devour the inhabitants and we are the grasshoppers, they can just smash us or just destroy us completely. Who told you so? Who told you so? Don't you believe in the God of gods? Don't you believe in the God of the impossible? Many people have been disappointed before, whether it is from churches or church communities or from people. We are able to change. We are able to be transformed and become more like His image, but only if we trust in Him and we have no fear in our hearts. And all the congregation said to stone them with stones. Now the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of meeting before all the children of Israel. The way that God deals with us is much different than the way that we deal with Him. We give up on Him, but He never gives up on us. And when even the people said, let us choose another leader and go back to Egypt to die there, God never took away His glory from them, even in the midst of their weakness. This is a message to give us strength and to give us hope that there is a better future. And through our faith in God, He can take us to levels that we never expected that we would see or reach ever in our lives. Another beautiful story mentioned in 2 Kings, starting from chapter 18, and it continues to chapter 19. And also a little bit in chapter 20. It is the story of Hezekiah, who was a righteous king, and his heart was truly with the Lord. And we look in 2 Kings 18, verse 5. He, referring to Hezekiah, trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor who were before him. He was a truly righteous man and trusted in God. And this is the starting point that God wants us to be at. It's just to put our trust in Him, because He is able to destroy all these barriers in front of us. But if we have our trust truly and honestly in Him. What was the problem? There was a king coming from Assyria, and his name is Sennacherib. And this king had basically destroyed all the nations in front of him. He was like a world power at that particular time. And he sent messengers to Hezekiah telling him, just give in, give up. You have no chance whatsoever to defeat us in war. We are coming to destroy you. So it is best that you don't lose all your armies and your chariots, just give them up and give in to us. Now, what did this righteous king do? Instead of just giving up, he inquired of the Lord. He prayed to God because he was a man of prayer. And God sent him Isaiah the prophet to assure him that he will be delivered from the hands of Sennacherib. Let's read a few verses and see how God destroyed the impossible, because impossible is nothing in front of our God. Chapter 19, verse 4, it may be that the Lord your God will hear all the words of the Rabshakeh, whom his master, the king of Assyria, has sent to reproach the living God. He was making fun of his God. He said, you know, look at all the gods of the nations. No one was able to deliver. No other God was able to deliver their people. So what makes your God a special God? What difference is this God from any other? And he was blaspheming against the God of heaven, the God of the Hebrews. And then he said, and the word which the Lord your God has heard, therefore lift up your prayer for the remnant that is left. So the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah, and Isaiah said to him, thus you shall say to your master, thus says the Lord, do not be afraid of the words which you have heard, with which the servants of the king of Assyria has blasphemed me. Surely I will send a spirit upon him, and he shall hear a rumor and return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. God sent him a comforting message. He said, do not look at the problem, for the problem in front of me is nothing. You might say that it is impossible to defeat this world power, but have no doubt in your mind whatsoever that the Lord of Lords and the God of Gods is coming to give you victory and will give you to conquer and defeat your enemies. And this is the lesson that you and I need to learn today, is never to be dismayed or to lose focus of the living God, but to put our trust again in him and to reassure him that, Lord, we are your children and you will never abandon us. We know that you are a loving and a caring and a wonderful God, one who wants all to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And we know that once we have trusted in you, you will never let us down. But ultimately, Lord, you will give us victory and conquering in our life, in our spiritual lives, in our possessions, in our blessings that you bestowed upon us, within our families, within our friends, within our work, and in every area, Lord. Once we entrust it to your holy and precious hands, we know that we will have all of our prayers answered, and any mountain that is ahead of us that's difficult to climb, you will carry us on eagle's wings and bring us to the top of it with victory and with joy. What did God do in this situation? God did something which was amazing. He prayed, Hezekiah prayed, and God gave him a promise through Isaiah. And what else? He sent his angel and he killed 185,000 of the soldiers of Assyria and of Sennacherib. Not only this, but Sennacherib fled and he was defeated and he was killed by his own children. Let's look at the end of chapter 19, verse 35. And it came to pass on a certain night that the angel of the Lord went out and killed in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when people arose early in the morning, there were the corpses, all dead. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went away, returned home, and remained at Nineveh. Now it came to pass, as he was worshipping in the temple of Nisroch, his god, that his sons Adramelech and Sharezer struck him down with the sword, and they escaped into the land of Ararat. Then Esedron, his son, reigned in his place. What a horrible end to the life of this man. Not only did God give them victory, but he avenged them also as well, for impossible is nothing in the sight of the Lord. Let us look at another contemporary stories that could help us to understand that impossible is nothing with God. And once we trust in him and give it all to him truly and honestly, then God will change things around and will bring it to whatever is best for us. There was a story about a boy who was born in extreme poverty in Puerto Rico, and his name was Juan Rodriguez. And growing up, him and his family lived in a shack and had to struggle for every meal. And when he was only 7 years old, he was working in the sugarcane fields plowing behind the oxen, and it didn't look like he had much of a future. And it didn't look that he would ever get out of that environment. But right near his house was an old run-down golf course, and Juan was so intrigued by golf that he made his own golf club out of like a stick and used bottle caps for the golf balls. All through the day he would go around playing golf on his imaginary golf course, but of course he was too poor in order to ever think that one day he would play on a real golf course. Few years later, and a few years had passed by, and then one of the golfers saw him out and he was playing, and he noticed how interested he was in golf. So he got him a job at the course, making very little, something like 35 cents a day. And then whenever Juan wasn't working, he was playing golf, but every day he got better and better. When he was about 21 years old, and after spending about 2 years in the U.S. Army, Juan was hired as a full-time caddy at a golf course in Puerto Rico. And one day a professional golfer came through and saw how talented Juan was. And this golfer took him under his wing and started working with him and training him. And today, so many years later, Juan Rodriguez is now better known as Chichi Rodriguez. And he went on to win 8 tournaments on the PGA Tour and was named the Senior Player of the Year. And because of his success, he was able to start the Chichi Rodriguez Youth Foundation, which helps children rise out of poverty like he did. And again, we understand that no matter where we come from, or no matter what our background is, we can still embrace the dreams that God has placed in our hearts. Many of us give excuse that we are of a different ethnic background. Maybe success in Canada is only for specific people. But we have seen so many examples of people who have worked hard and their work actually paid off. Yes, immigrants from different parts of the world. Yes, people who didn't finish at one time their education. They are able to go back and God will give them success. People who think lowly of themselves, God is able again to change the obstacles, and he has a plan for us, and he wants to make our life much better life. Another example is Gilbert Arenas, and again his story is mentioned on the Adidas website, and he was wears now number zero because it was the number of minutes that he was going to play, and people had predicted that he was going to play like no minutes in the NBA. But really he wanted to work hard, and he showed everyone that he is able, and impossible was nothing to him. And Gilbert Arenas was named to the All-NBA second team in 2006-07 after being an All-NBA third team selection in 04-05 and 05-06. And he became like a franchise's first player since Alvin Hayes in 72-73 to be named to an All-NBA team in 3 consecutive seasons. Also, I'd like to share with you another beautiful book that I've read a few years ago, and it's called Toto Chen, The Little Girl at the Window. And it's written by a Japanese author who is a Japanese television personality and a UNICEF Goodwill Ambassador. Her name is Tetsuko Koryunagi, and she is Japanese. And it's a beautiful story that is told from a child's perspective. She tells her story when she was younger, and how she, at a very young age, was kicked out of her school because she showed like abnormal behavior, and she had challenged learning, and all her teachers really mistreated her and had no hope in her success. And then her mother transferred her to another school where she met a teacher by the name, or a principal by the name of Mr. Kobayashi. And he introduced like new activities to interest the students. And this teacher is seen as someone who understands children and strives to develop their qualities of mind, body, and heart. And he worked with many people who were mentally challenged or physically challenged or had learning disabilities, and he encouraged them to pursue like higher education and be successful people. And she owes this gentleman like much admiration, and she owes him like a way that she thinks that he was the reason that she succeeded in her life and future. And I want to ask today, how many of us are willing to take on this challenge? To look at people who are around us, whether they are in the church, and I mean, at times we, as Sunday school teachers or as servants, we don't want the naughty kids. Kids are causing trouble and noise. The easiest thing to do is just to kick them out, just, you know, completely take them out of the class so that we don't have a peace of mind. And I understand that at times, you know, kids cause trouble or cause disruption. But how many took a step beyond what is expected of them, the norm, to take some of these children under their wings and mentor them and help them and guide them and be of positive influence in their lives? It is so easy for us to judge others and to look with the eyes of you know, how people are stepping out of the norm and causing problems. But what have we done about it? We haven't done anything so profound to change the world that is around us. And this is an excellent book that gives us inspiration into looking at these special cases and dealing with them. I love this ministry, by the way, and I'm willing to dedicate my life for this kind of ministry. Anyone who has not felt that they fit in, or the world has rejected them, or they have any kind of you know, disability or anything that sets them apart, that makes just the general community, not only inside the church but, you know, the society, frown at them, these are the people exactly that Christ was seeking for and loved so much in his heart and came down for. For the people who are well or healthy have no need for a physician, but those who are sick. And you and I, as members of the Holy Church and as representatives of Christ, it is our responsibility to care for the needs of the disenfranchised and the people who are set up aside and have no esteem or respect from anyone else. It is our responsibility to care for them. My beloved, our God is the God of the impossible. Over and over again in the Holy Scriptures and in the lives of individuals, in the lives of the church saints, look at the saints who have offered the repentance. The people who sought and completely discounted certain people from becoming saints and live a holy life with God, they have become the best of people. But they need help and mentoring and the ability to fully understand and believe that God can transform a heart. Some of us are still living far from God. Some of us haven't taken communion in such a long time. Some of us have given up on the concept of church, or maybe some of our friends or the people we know. It is time to come back to Him and to say, it is possible. With God, all things are possible, for nothing is impossible with God, as the angel said to the Virgin Mary. Let us renew now our trust in God and tell Him, Lord, You are able to change my circumstances, my spirituality, my love for You, the way that I deal with people, the way that I have been mistakenly misunderstanding others who are around me or have given up or have no hope. You are the God of hope and the God of the possible as well as the God of the impossible. All things I can do if I trust in You. Let us today commit to Him fully with our heart and confess His glory and His majesty and see the kind of change that is going to happen to our lives. May the Lord bless us today and always, and glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.